Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I'm taking a break today from my series on the Gospel of Mark in order to bring you this special message on the COVID-19 virus. To that end, I ask you to join with me as we turn together to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, reading the verses 1 through 9. That's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, the verses 1 through 9. Let us hear the Word of God. There were present at that season some who told him, that is Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down." This ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word to our hearts. Dear friends, in December of 2019, a new virus called COVID-19 was first detected in China. At first, no one thought much about it. But then the news reports started showing scenes of entire cities under lockdown and a makeshift hospital being built in a matter of days. And slowly but surely, the world started to take notice. Today, this same virus has spread to many countries around the world, radically changing the way we live. Whole cities are being placed under quarantine. Governments are ordering businesses to shut down, imposing travel restrictions and social distancing practices. Billions, even trillions of dollars are being spent to offset the negative effects of this virus on the economy and to support those who have lost their jobs. It's one of the worst disasters the world has witnessed, at least in this generation. And the question is, what are we to make of all of this? What message is there here for the church and for the world at large? What, according to the Bible, should be our response to this and all other terrible calamities? Well, I believe we have an answer to that question in the words of our text, Luke 13, the verses 1 through 9. Jesus and the disciples were in Perea. Perea is the region to the east of the Jordan River. And they were on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. This would be the last time they would make this journey. In a few weeks, Jesus would be put to death. Well, while they were there, Jesus was informed of a terrible atrocity. Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator of Judea, and de facto ruler of the Jewish people, had just executed a number of Galileans as they were bringing their sacrifices into the temple in Jerusalem. And in the process of executing them, some of their blood mingled with the blood of their sacrifices, defiling not only the sacrifice, but the entire temple. Now, why Pilate executed these men is not known. Some have speculated that these Galileans were zealots, That is, Jews who carried on a campaign of guerrilla warfare against the Romans in an effort to regain control of Palestine. In fact, there's a reference in Acts 5, verse 37, to a certain Judas of Galilee who refused to pay taxes to the Romans and led a large uprising, which was later put down. Now, whether these people were followers of this same Judas, we cannot say for sure. What is also not clear is why Pilate ordered them to be executed as they were bringing their sacrifices into the temple. It's possible that these Galileans were up to something, and there was simply no time to waste. But given his hatred for the Jews, it's more likely that Pilate intended this as a deliberate provocation. What better way to demonstrate his disdain for the Jewish people than by executing some of them in their own temple? Well, regardless who these people were or why they were killed, the Jews brought this matter to Jesus' attention. Why did they do so? Well, probably because Jesus was an important and leading figure and a great rabbi. And as such, they wanted him to go on the record, so to speak, to make a public statement regarding what had happened. Specifically, they wanted to know if these Galileans got what they deserved. They wanted to know if this was God's punishment for some kind of sin. Now, this way of thinking was very typical for people of Jesus' day. The Jews of Jesus' day believed that if something bad happened to you, it was because you had committed some kind of sin. And the worse it was, the worse sin you must have committed. And that's exactly the kind of mentality that we see manifesting itself here. The Jews of Jesus' day figured that since these Galileans were killed in such a terrible way, they must have committed a terrible sin. Now, there are still people like that today, also in the church. As I mentioned, we're facing one of the greatest health crises in a generation. And already many in the church are saying that this is the judgment of God for the sins of the world. Now, there's no doubt that the world is ripe for the judgment of God, especially the Western world. The Western world used to be the cradle of Christianity, but that is no longer the case. The Western world has largely rejected its Christian heritage. It has rejected the Bible as the ultimate authority, and it has trampled the law of God under its own feet. Instead of obeying God, we do what is right in our own eyes. We do what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do, and as such, we deserve the wrath and condemnation of God. But when it comes to COVID-19, we need to be careful. We simply do not know if this virus is the punishment of God for sin, much less for some specific sin. In fact, we don't know if any disaster or calamity is the punishment of God for some specific sin, nor is that the issue. What matters is not why God does what he does, but how we respond to it. And this is precisely the point that Jesus makes here in our text. After hearing about this terrible atrocity, Jesus said to the people, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And you'll notice how Jesus completely sidesteps the question. The people were interested in the cause. They wanted to know why, but Jesus is more interested in the effect. He's saying that atrocities such as occurred in Jerusalem occur not in the first place because those affected were more sinful than others. But that is clearly not the case. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but rather to impress on us the necessity and the urgency of repentance. And to reinforce that message, Jesus in verse 4 cites another example, the falling of the Tower of Siloam. The Tower of Siloam was a tower constructed near the Pool of Siloam along the walls of the city of Jerusalem. For some reason, this tower suddenly came down, killing some 18 people. And Jesus uses that event to illustrate his point that those who die tragic deaths are not necessarily more sinful than those who don't. And this is all the more the case since the tower in Siloam was located in the holy city of Jerusalem. You see, the Jews of Jesus' day could easily imagine something terrible happening to Galileans. After all, they were, according to the culture of the time, backward and half-heathen. Given the fact that they lived so close to the Gentile nations to the north and the Samaritans to the south. But by referencing an event that occurred in the holy city itself, Jesus is saying, as it were, if you think what happened to those Galileans was because they were more sinful than most of the other Galileans, what about those who were killed by the Tower of Siloam? Were they more sinful than most of the others living in Jerusalem? Now, in making this statement, Jesus was challenging their major premise. Their major premise was only bad people die tragic deaths. Their minor premise was the Galileans died tragic deaths. And their conclusion was, therefore, the Galileans are bad people. But Jesus says no. He reminds them that even people in Jerusalem die tragic deaths. Therefore, the point of events like this is not why they happened, much less who is more sinful and therefore more deserving of death, but rather what message they proclaim and how you and I should respond. Well, what was this message? Jesus tells us, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus here is telling us that the reason why these things happen is to teach us the necessity and the urgency of repentance. Now, what does it mean to repent? Literally, the Greek word that Jesus uses here means to change one's mind. To repent, therefore, means to change one's mind about sin. It implies that before we repent, we think that sin is not a problem. We even like it. But when we come to repentance, we come to a different perspective on sin. We come to see that sin is an affront to the holiness and the goodness of God. And as such, it merits God's eternal wrath and condemnation. Those who sin must die. Now, the person who repents realizes this. And as a result, he comes to hate sin and to turn his back on it, to look to Christ and his atoning work on the cross as the only hope and ground of his salvation. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a new and holy life to the glory and praise of God. Now this, Jesus says, is the message of events like the killing of these Galileans and the falling of the Tower of Siloam, and yes, also of COVID-19. It's not see what terrible sinners you are. Now you're only getting what you deserve. No, the message is repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, what does Jesus mean by that statement, you shall all likewise perish? Is he saying that unless we repent, we will all die sudden and tragic deaths, like the Galileans who were executed in the temple, or the 18 who were killed by the falling of the Tower of Siloam? No, that's not what he's saying at all. Not all unrepentant sinners die sudden and tragic deaths. Some die very peaceful deaths. Well, what then does Jesus mean? What's he referring to? Well, he's referring, of course, to the day of judgment. The Bible teaches that one day the world will come to an end. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven and judge the living and the dead. And this judgment will be swift and sudden. One day they will be standing before the Lord, the next minute they will be cast into hell, where they will remain to all eternity. And the people in our text were a case in point. Here were these Galileans. They had made a long journey all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. They were in the middle of presenting their sacrifices to the Lord. Whoever would have expected them to die while they were worshiping the Lord in his temple? It's the last thing they would have expected. And yet that's exactly what happened. Just as they were about to present their offerings to the priests, a band of Roman soldiers sneaked up behind them and cut them to the ground. Similarly, the people who were standing by the Tower of Siloam, what were they doing? They were simply going about their daily business. Some perhaps were children playing in the streets. Some were selling their wares. Some were simply passing by. And then all of a sudden, without warning, the tower fell, killing 18 people. In an instant, their lives were snuffed out. They had no time to say goodbye to their friends and loved ones, no time to repent of their sins, no time to set their houses in order, no time for anything. Within a few seconds, they were dead, buried beneath mounds and mounds of rubble. And do we not see the same thing happening today? One day, people are going about their daily routine. The next day, they're in the hospital with a burning fever, gasping for air, facing certain death. Well, Jesus says, beware. Unless you repent, the same thing will happen to you. You'll perish, just like these people did. Well, my friend, do you believe that? Oh, don't think that this applies only to other people. Don't think that this applies only to the very wicked people on earth. It doesn't. It applies to everyone. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you will all likewise perish. Well, then, as if to drive this point home even further, Jesus tells us a parable. The parable is recorded in verses 6 through 9. It's called the parable of the barren fig tree. A certain man, Jesus said, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, at first glance, it may seem rather odd that this man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard. But in ancient times, this was done quite regularly. Vineyard owners would plant a variety of trees in their vineyard wherever there was suitable soil. And that's exactly what this man did as well. He had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. That meant it received the best care and the best attention, the same care and attention as the vines. It received moisture and fertilizer, whatever the tree needed was provided. Well, at the end of the growing season, Jesus says that the man came by to see if there was any fruit. And that only stands to reason. If you put that much work into a fig tree, you expect that there will be figs. But what did this man discover? Well, Jesus says he found none. In fact, for 3 years, he came looking for fruit but found none. It was not that there was not very much fruit or that the fruit was not of very good quality. There was no fruit at all. Now, what we have here is a description of God's bountiful provision for his people Israel. Just like the vineyard owner in our parable, the Lord provided his people Israel with everything that they needed in order to bear fruit. He delivered them from bondage in Egypt. He led them for 40 years in the wilderness. He provided them bread and meat and water. He gave them his law. He gave them power to defeat the Canaanites and to inherit the land which he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sent his prophets to teach them his law and to warn them against sin and impending judgment. And finally, he sent them his only begotten Son to die for their sins and to more fully reveal to them the truth and the will of God. He did everything necessary in order to cause them to bear fruit. But what was the result? Jesus says he came and sought fruit thereon, but found none. He found no fruit. The people of Israel rejected his law and his covenant. And what is worse, they rejected him and his son, Jesus. They were like this fig tree in our parable. In spite of the many blessings and privileges which they received, they bore no fruit at all. They did not turn to him in faith and repentance. They did not strive to put sin to death and live their lives to the glory of God. They simply went on day after day, living in and for their sins. And isn't that true still today? How many people in our world, in our society, go on day after day, living in and for their sins? This man, God, does everything in his power to cause the fig tree to bear fruit, but it bore none. Well, finally, the man had had enough. He commanded the vine dresser to cut the tree down, lest it suck up too many vital nutrients from the ground and adversely affect the vines. But upon hearing this, we read that the vine dresser asked the owner to give the tree one more chance. He would break up the soil around the tree, presumably so that more rain could reach the roots. He would fertilize it with manure. And he said if after 1 year the tree still did not produce any fruit, then he would cut it down. Now, some have seen in this a picture of the son and the father. Just as the vine dresser pleads with the owner of the vineyard to give the tree one more chance, so the son pleads with the father to be merciful to sinners. But But that is to suggest that the Father is chomping at the bit, so to speak, to destroy sinners, which is not a biblical conception of God the Father. The Bible says that God so loves the world, it's talking about the Father there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Elsewhere, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that all should come to faith and repentance in Christ. What is more, this interpretation is to suggest that Christ intercedes for all sinners, which is simply not true. He intercedes only for his people. And so what does Jesus mean by this element in the parable? He simply means that God exercises great patience towards sinners. He does not immediately give them what they deserve. Instead, he gives them one opportunity after another to repent and live. And this is still the same God today. Still today, God exercises great patience towards us sinners. This is why we're still here. This is why we have not yet been consumed, so that we might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live. Oh, my friend, have you done so? Like the fig tree in this parable, you too have been given plenty of time and plenty of opportunity to repent. What is more, many of you have been given so many privileges. You've had the promises of God signified and sealed to you in holy baptism. You were born for the most part in Christian homes and to Christian parents. Some of you even attended Christian schools staffed by Christian teachers and governed by Christian parents. You have the Word of God, a faithful church and pastor to proclaim the Word of God, Sunday school, young people societies, you name it. The question is, what have you done with these opportunities and these privileges? Have they led you to repentance? Have you turned to the Lord? Have you believed on His Son? Oh, make no mistake, my friend, this is what God expects of each and every one of us. Just as the owner of the vineyard came looking for and expecting fruit on his fig tree, so the Lord comes to us looking for and expecting fruit from us, fruits of faith, fruits of repentance, and fruits of holiness. And if he doesn't find any of these fruits, what then? Oh, then he will order us to be cut down. Well, to be sure, he may not do so right away. He may give us one more year. But eventually he will. And when he does, what then? Where will you be? Will you be in heaven? Or will you be in hell? And therefore, the time to repent is now, my friends. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. The message of the Bible is repent today before it is too late. Do not think that because God postpones his judgment that he will not judge at all. God postponed his judgment on the world in the days of Noah too. He postponed it for 120 years. For 120 years, Noah built the ark. And it was a sermon to the people living in his day. You must repent, for the flood is coming. God is coming in judgment. But they didn't listen. And they went about their daily routine as though nothing was wrong. But at the end of those 120 years, God opened the windows of heaven and broke up the fountains of the deep and destroyed the entire world and everything in it with a flood. And the same is still true today, my friend. Although God withholds his hand of judgment against us, he will not do so forever. There will come a time when the tree will be chopped down. When that will be, we don't know. But it will happen. And therefore, we must be ready. Repent or perish. In preparing the sermon, I came across a poem which I think effectively captures the thought of our text. It goes like this. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. Well, where is that mysterious bourne by which our path is crossed? beyond which God himself has sworn that he who goes is lost. How far can one go on in sin? How long will mercy spare? Where does grace end and where begin the confines of despair? An answer from the sky is sent. Ye who from God depart, while it is called today, repent and harden not your heart. The message of COVID-19 is simple. Repent or perish. May God grant that we may hear this message and respond to it in faith. For the promise of the gospel is that those who do repent shall be saved. This is why God sent his Son into the world. This is why he suffered and died on the cross, so that sinners like you and me could be saved. Therefore, hearken to his voice. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are and what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.